This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Imagine, just for a second, that you are the CEO of a mid-size enterprise.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Right. So you're sitting at your desk, you're looking over your commercial indicators for the quarter, and you sign off on a check for $15,000.
Which is, you know, a pretty standard monthly marketing spend for that size.
Exactly. It's your monthly marketing spend. You are paying an agency to drive traffic to your site. And on paper, that agency is throwing a party.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Yeah. They're handing you reports showing first page keyword rankings and massive click-through rates. Everything looks green.
Right.
But then you look at your actual closed deals. You look at your inorganic customer acquisition numbers.
And let me guess, they're flat.
Completely flat. Just dead in the water. And you suddenly realize, you know, you aren't actually paying for customers. You are paying for spam forms. You're paying for automated bot clicks.
Yeah.
And your actual high-value premium clients, they're going somewhere else entirely.
Which is a terrifying realization.
It really is. So welcome to the deep dive. Today is Sunday, August 9, 2020, Source.
We made it to the second half of the year.
We are officially in the second half of the year, yeah. Which means, honestly, if your digital acquisition strategy is bleeding capital like we just described, the clock is ticking to fix it.
Absolutely.
We are looking at a single, highly focused source today. It's a briefing titled Mid-Year AI Visibility Audit, and it's by Chris Bradley from Double Dome Digital Marketing.
It's a really fascinating read.
It is. And our mission for you, the listener, is to discover why the legacy number one search ranking is, well, it's officially dead. And we want to show you how you can map your business to the new rules of machine-driven recommendations.
Because the rules have entirely changed.
They really have. Oh. Okay, let's unpack this, because Bradley starts with a fundamental premise that kind of redefines the internet as we know it. He says the traditional first-page ranking isn't just less effective, it is a ghost.
A ghost. Yeah, and we really have to look at the mechanics of why it's a ghost. We call this the AI slump.
The AI slump, right?
Yeah. The fracture in the digital landscape. It isn't about people using, like, different search engines. It's a structural shift in how complex queries are actually resolved now.
Okay. How so?
Well, if you look at how major procurement queries happen today, they are being answered entirely within the interfaces of generative AI tools.
So we're talking about ChatGPT, Claude, Google Gemini, things like that.
Exactly. Premium clients are no longer clicking external links on a traditional search results page. They just aren't.
I want to stop right there and clarify the mechanism, because I think this is where a lot of business leaders completely miscalculate.
Oh, for sure.
If an enterprise procurement officer is looking for, say, a new logistics vendor,
mm-hmm.
they aren't typing logistics vendor Chicago into a search bar and then patiently opening 10 different tabs to read about us pages.
Not at all. I mean, that behavior is practically prehistoric for high-stakes B2B purchasing in 2026.
Right.
Today, that procurement officer feeds a whole matrix of requirements into an LLM. They input their budget constraints, their supply chain complexities, their geographic needs.
They give it all the context up front.
Exactly. And they ask the model to generate a comparative shortlist. The critical shift here is the containment of the answer.
Containment. Meaning they don't leave the platform.
Right. The AI processes all those variables and outputs the final recommendation directly on the screen. The user gets their comparison without ever leaving the chat interface.
Man, that completely nullifies the old marketing playbook. I mean, if you are paying for hyperinflated paid search ads in that legacy model, it's basically like renting a billboard on a highway that everyone stopped driving on.
That is a perfect way to put it.
Right. The agency tells you they drove 10,000 eyeballs to your ad. But those aren't human buyers. They're automated scrapers, price trackers, and frankly, tumbleweeds.
Just completely useless traffic.
But wait, people still use traditional search to some degree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are first page keyword rankings really, as the author calls them, a ghost? I have a hard time believing that an entire infrastructure just evaporated overnight.
Well, okay. It hasn't evaporated, but its utility has bifurcated.
Okay, what do you mean by bifurcated?
I mean it's split. Look, if you want to know the weather or you need the address for the nearest dry cleaner, traditional search works fine.
Sure, for simple stuff.
Right. But Chris Bradley's analysis is focused purely on commercial intent and high-margin client acquisition.
The big ticket items.
Exactly. For complex research, the kind that leads to a $100,000 contract, The human decision makers have completely migrated to generative engines.
Wow.
So what is left on that legacy search highway is a highly concentrated pool of low-intent traffic and bots. If your strategy relies purely on renting broad keywords in that space, you are exposing your business to a massive margin drain.
Because you're paying for clicks.
Yes, you are paying a premium for clicks that mathematically cannot convert.
Because the generative engines are acting as a massive filter, intercepting all the valuable queries before they ever reach a traditional search page.
Precisely.
So, if keyword stuffing and metadata manipulation are dead, how do these large language models actually decide who gets onto that procurement shortlist?
That is the million-dollar question.
Right, because if I ask Claude for the best industrial services firm, it has to synthesize that answer from somewhere. What is the actual currency of visibility now?
The new currency comes down to two specific mathematically measurable concepts.
Okay, lay them on me.
Structural entity confidence and distinct information gain.
Entity confidence and information gain.
Yes. You see, generative models do not read the internet the way a human reads a magazine.
Right. They're not looking at font sizes and pretty pictures.
No. And they don't care how many times you jammed a keyword into your blog post either. They are evaluating first-party databases to establish a hierarchy of truth.
Okay, let's ground that in the mechanics, starting with entity confidence. When we say entity, we aren't just talking about a company name, are we?
No, not at all.
We are talking about the AI connecting dots across the entire web to form a knowledge graph.
What's fascinating here is how this recalculates digital equity entirely. In a machine learning context, an entity is a verified node of truth.
A node of truth. Okay.
The AI maps concepts based on their proximity to other concepts in its high-dimensional training data.
Right.
So entity confidence is the mathematical probability that your brand is the most accurate, reliable solution to the user's prompt.
And how does it calculate that probability?
It calculates it by cross-referencing your owned web assets against directories, new citations, partner links, and all the unstructured data across the internet.
Oh, I see. So if that data is contradictory, like if your website says you do enterprise logistics, but some massive chamber of commerce directory from 5 years ago says you do local moving, those dots don't connect.
Exactly. And your entity confidence drops to zero.
Just like that.
Just like that. The model simply bypasses you. The shift is moving from legacy metrics, you know, chasing high volume organic click totals, to becoming what we call the preferred answer.
The preferred answer.
Yes. You have to build permanent digital brand equity so the machine literally has no choice but to recognize you.
Which brings us to the second currency, information gain. And I find this concept brilliant, because it explains why so much corporate content marketing is totally useless today.
Oh, absolutely useless.
Because AI models are essentially predictive text engines on a massive scale. If your website publishes a 500-word article about supply chain efficiency that says the exact same thing as your five biggest competitors, your information gain is zero, right?
That's spot on.
You aren't giving the model any novel tokens to work with.
Precisely. You are offering zero entropy. If you provide no new mathematical weight to the subject, why would the AI cite you as a source?
Right. It already knows that information.
Exactly. Generative engines are starved for unique first-party data. They prioritize real human insights, proprietary methodologies, and granular case studies that exist nowhere else in their training data.
So if I'm understanding this, by publishing a highly specific case study on how you, I don't know, reduce shipping delays in a blizzard using a proprietary routing method.
Yes, great example.
Yeah. By doing that, you are forcing the AI to reference you when someone asks about cold weather logistics.
That unique data layer is your shield against invisibility. You transition from being vulnerable to clickbots in the old SEO system to being verified via first-party human data loops in the generative system.
You become an undeniable primary source of truth.
Exactly.
Okay, so we know the landscape is fractured, and we know AI wants entity confidence and information gain. But how does a business actually diagnose their standing, like today?
Well, Bradley introduces a four-part manual audit blueprint, and he claims it takes under an hour to run.
Yeah, I want to frame this not as a checklist, but as the actual narrative journey of an AI trying to locate a business.
Okay, I like that approach.
Let's walk through how this plays out when a buyer actually initiates a query.
That's the perfect way to look at it. So phase one of this journey is checking your brand citation and token presence.
Brand citation and token presence.
Yeah, this is where you test if the AI even has weights associated with you. You query the major LLMs directly, but here's the key. You do not use your brand name.
Right, because the buyer wouldn't use your brand name if they don't know you yet.
Exactly. You use clear service searches wrapped in regional or industry criteria.
So you act like the buyer. You ask something like, what are the top industrial HVAC providers for commercial high-rises in Chicago?
Yes, and you watch the output. Is your brand entity explicitly generated in the text? Does the machine natively suggest you as a primary option?
Okay.
And crucially, you have to analyze whether the platform provides direct links back to your digital footprint.
Because if it generates your name but doesn't link to your site, the AI possesses the token for your name, but it lacks the structural pathway to drive that user into your actual conversion funnel.
That's right.
It knows you exist, but it doesn't know where you live.
Exactly. Okay, so let's say the AI does generate your name. Phase two is where it attempts to synthesize your actual capabilities. Bradley calls this descriptive accuracy and profile health.
And how do we test that?
This is where you directly prompt the model for an objective breakdown of your company's core service lines. You ask it to summarize who you are and what you do.
Okay.
And this phase is where a lot of executives experience a very, very cold reality check.
Oh, I can imagine. It's like walking into a boardroom to pitch a $1 million enterprise contract, and the person introducing you reads your bio straight from an awkward high school yearbook.
Yes, that is exactly what it's like.
The AI might spit out outdated summaries, highlight services you sunsetted 5 years ago, or just completely hallucinate and mix your brand up with a competitor across town.
Because the LLM is piecing together your identity from fragmented, unmanaged data across the web, if the output is a mess, it proves your machine-readable structural web code is broken.
The AI's knowledge graph of your company is corrupted by bad data you haven't cleaned up.
Exactly. And that means when a complex query comes along, the AI simply won't trust your entity enough to recommend you.
Which naturally leads to phase three. The stress test, what he calls category recommendation dominance.
Right. Once we know if the AI can find you and if it knows what you do, we filter for complexity.
Okay. How does that look?
You simulate an enterprise procurement search. You ask the AI to recommend a provider for your specific service niche that handles high-scale commercial operations. You are asking the machine to curate a short list based on programmatic confidence.
You're forcing it to make a high-stakes choice.
Exactly. If your company is missing from this highly specific, high-intent recommendation, your site fails to meet the structural depth the algorithms require.
So you might surface for a generic, low-value prompt, but when a buyer wants a serious, vetted partner, the AI drops you.
Because your entity confidence isn't deep enough to withstand that filter.
And if you failed those first three phases, phase four is the final nail in the coffin. Competitor citation comparison.
Yeah.
This is where you look at the exact same queries, but you analyze the invisible funnel happening with your rivals.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this step reveals the true financial cost of digital invisibility.
The actual money being lost.
Right. If your direct competitors are earning consistent citations, if they are getting inline reference links, and the AI is generating positive sentiment scores about their proprietary methods while ignoring you completely.
Yeah.
They are actively siphoning away your high intent market share.
They are stealing your pipeline before you even realize a buyer was in the market.
Yes.
The buyer asked the AI for a recommendation. The AI confidently offered up your competitor. The buyer clicked their link, and a deal was initiated. You never even had a chance to bid on the project because you were entirely invisible to the machine making the introduction.
The funnel is happening and completing before a traditional search is ever logged.
Man. Okay, let's operationalize this.
Yeah.
Our listener runs this audit. Let's say the AI thinks their enterprise software company is a consumer app. Their competitors are dominating the high-intent queries, and their entity confidence is practically zero.
A bad day at the office.
A very bad day. The article talks about moving to generative engine optimization. How do they actually fix the data layer?
Conceptually, it requires a complete departure from standard keyword checklists. The immediate technical fix Chris Bradley points to is integrating advanced JSON-LD schema models.
Okay, frankly, I have to challenge this.
Go for it.
Because advanced JSON-LD schema scaffolding sounds exactly like the snake oil SEO agencies were pitching 5 years ago under a different acronym.
I hear you.
How is schema any different from paying a consultant $15,000 a month to stuff metadata into the back end of a web page?
It is a totally valid skepticism, but the mechanics are fundamentally different here. Old SEO was about manipulating human language.
Right.
You put the word logistics on a page 20 times and hoped a web crawler would infer relevance. JSON-LD schema is not natural language. It is literal structured object data.
Object data.
Yes. Think of an LLM like a brilliant researcher who is blindfolded and relies entirely on a braille map of the internet. JSON-LD schema is you actively printing your business details, your corporate hierarchy, your service areas, and your proprietary data in braille.
Oh, I see. You are handing the AI the exact database schema it natively understands,
yeah,
rather than making it guess based on some blog post.
Yes. You define your entity parameters unambiguously, and then you pair that schema with real-time information gain assets.
Publishing that proprietary data we talked about earlier.
Exactly. And you configure clean server-side data tracking so the AI can verify user interactions.
Mm.
Double Dome Digital Marketing's entire thesis is anti-fluff.
Anti-fluff, I like that.
Shifting to generative optimization wipes out the guesswork of multi-channel marketing. You just prune any asset that doesn't feed the knowledge graph.
And this completely changes the CEO's operational reporting.
How so?
Well, you aren't sitting in a boardroom listening to a marketer give complex, jargon-filled excuses about algorithm shifts to explain why leads are down.
Oh, right. Because when you control your entity confidence, a minor algorithm tweak doesn't erase you. You are an established mathematical fact in the AI's database.
Exactly. The reporting becomes a perfectly clean dashboard. Like,
yeah,
we spent X to build this proprietary data asset. The AI consumed it. We captured Y highly qualified leads directly from the generative interface.
No excuses, just pure execution.
It's the ultimate paradigm shift from renting to owning. I mean, SEO was always a temporary lease on a keyword. You stopped paying the agency or Google changed the rules and you lost your spot.
Right.
But generative engine optimization is about building permanent proprietary equity in the machine's brain.
It's about being undeniable.
So what does this all mean? Let's bring this home for the listener. The core takeaway from Chris Bradley's mid-year audit is pretty stark.
Yeah, it is.
We're in the second half of 2026. You simply cannot build an enterprise expansion plan on legacy visibility models. If your dashboard is tracking broad clicks and keyword rankings, you're tracking the wrong metrics entirely.
You are navigating a modern city with a map from 2015.
Exactly. You need to run this four-part clinical review today. Map the journey. Find out if the machines actually see you. And if they don't, you have to eliminate the contradictory data leaks, implement the structured JSON-LD architecture, and turn your digital footprint into an undeniable automated cash flow generator.
Yeah.
It is time to stop chasing useless bot clicks and start claiming your actual revenue system.
This raises an important question, though, doesn't it?
What's that?
We've focused heavily on how an individual business must adapt to survive this transition. But if we pull back and look at the macroeconomic effect of this, we are transitioning from a world where a search engine gave you 10 different options, 10 different perspectives, to a world where a generative AI tool delivers a single, highly confident, preferred answer.
Wow, yeah. It becomes the ultimate bottleneck for commerce.
Exactly. If an AI audit determines whether a machine sees you, and that machine is what dictates the sole option presented to a premium buyer, what happens to the very concept of consumer choice?
That's a huge question.
Are we moving toward a reality where black box algorithms entirely dictate market winners and losers before a human being even realizes they had other options to choose from?
Man, that is a chilling thought to end on. Because if you aren't the preferred answer to the AI, you don't exist.
Yeah.
And if you don't exist to the AI, you will never exist to the customer.
Exactly.
Thank you for diving into the deep end with us today. Run that audit. Check your entity confidence and make sure the machine knows exactly who you are. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.